Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to read aloud starting in verse 18. And what we're after is mostly in verses 21 through 23. Remember that we're working on the church where there's a big problem there. There is someone or a group of people, seems like one woman in this congregation, who is playing the part of Jezebel. And that's a very serious matter that the Lord is dealing with very seriously for his congregation. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, you let, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the congregations shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So, would you please consider in what we just read the punishment that the sinners deserve here? The punishment that they deserve? In verse 22, it says of that woman Jezebel, I will cast her into a bed. And then it says in that same verse, those who have committed with her into great tribulation, trouble. And verse 23, I will kill her children with death. Not meaning there that woman's literal offspring, but meaning those who have followed her into her wickedness. Now, I was very struck when we were reading in the Old Testament about Jezebel and Ahab and their sons who were kings after Ahab, just how much the words of the Lord Jesus here echo how the Lord dealt with Jezebel and her idolatry in Israel so long ago. Remember that one of her sons fell, was injured, couldn't recover, was put in bed, and then never got up, died in bed. He sent for somebody to go check with one of the false gods about whether he'd get better. And so God sent his prophet to tell him, because you have gone to the false gods instead of me, you will never get up out of your bed. And he died there. And there was all kinds of trouble that came upon the people of Jezebel. And remember what happened to her sons and grandsons? Every last one of her descendants was killed by God's will. God did it. Remember, he anointed one of the generals, Jehu, who went and killed every descendant of Jezebel and many others who had followed her until they were all exterminated out of Israel and their idolatry with them. Really, when we read there is somebody playing the part of Jezebel in the congregation, we're not surprised at all if we know that history to hear, here's how Jesus Christ is going to deal with it. This is the punishment that is deserved. Now, you know from very early in the Bible you know, if you open your own Bible in about the third page, you find out, or if you had an old scroll, just about the time you barely got it unrolled, you're reading about how God said to Adam and Eve that as soon if they disobeyed Him, dying they would surely die. And they didn't disobey Him, and death ensued. And death has been a part of our race ever since. It's not new information here that if people are going to sin, if there's going to be a woman who sets up as a prophetess and leads people into idolatry and fornication, and people will allow that and will follow her, that what they deserve is death. That's not new information, but the Lord Jesus here is applying it to this. That's the punishment that's deserved. But notice that right along with the announcement of what punishment is deserved is the declaration of repentance. Notice in verse 21 it says, the Lord Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. Wow! Jesus Christ is so merciful to sinners that He gave space for repentance even to a woman who was acting like Jezebel. The Lord Jesus Christ is that merciful to sinners. He gave even Jezebel here opportunity to repent. But you see what it says at the end of verse 21. She repented not. She did not repent. But the Lord Jesus gave her space to. Verse 22, that awful declaration, behold, I will cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. But then it says, except they repent of their deeds. So even those who have joined in sin with Jezebel, been led astray by her, Jesus Christ will threaten punishment, and He'll carry it out unless they repent, if they will repent. And that's the essence of the mercy of God declared to sinners. You deserve deadly punishment, and you'll get it too, unless you repent. Let's start looking in some places in Luke, starting in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and I'll read aloud Luke 3:3. And this is a description of John the Baptist, Luke 3:3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Or maybe your Bible says forgiveness of sins. In the old Bibles, some places it says remission, and some places it says forgiveness. Usually in the newer Bibles it just says forgiveness. Both meaning the same thing. John the Baptist preaching a baptism. He's telling people, be baptized. The baptism is symbolic. It's not spiritual. You know, dunking underwater is not spiritual. It can't do anything spiritual. It can only show something spiritual. What is the spiritual thing that it's showing? Preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This word in the Greek New Testament, remission or forgiveness, it's a word for sending away, like getting rid of. Shoo, get out of here. Sending something away. You can tell in the word remission. A mission is when a mission, okay? Let's say that I have a mission for Abel, okay? Like, let's say that I have left my Bible in the sanctuary by the pulpit, and I need it, and I need Abel to go on this mission. What am I going to do? I'm going to send him on that mission. So he's going to leave and go away to go do that mission. You can hear that root in this word, remission. It's a sending away. You can talk about the penalty being sent away. You can talk about the sins that deserve the penalty being sent away. There's the sense in which if someone is locked up because he's guilty and he's waiting to be punished, then he can be let go and sent away. The concept is the sin and its guilt and the punishment of it are with the sinner, but then in remission or forgiveness, the sin and the sinner are sent away from each other. The guilt of the sin, the punishment because of the guilt, are sent away from the sinner and the sinner away from the sin and its punishment. Remission or forgiveness. If I understand correctly in our English word forgiveness, it's something like if I, as the judge, have the right to find the person guilty, sentence the person, carry out punishment, and then I give that over or give it away, then it's forgiveness. The idea, the concept in the Greek term is the separating of the sin, its guilt, the punishment from the sinner, so that no longer is he being held as guilty, no longer is he being held as deserving punishment, no longer is the punishment to be carried out. He is forgiven. The sin is remitted. There is remission. So notice, it's repentance for the remission of sins. The sins aren't being remitted for the sinner who does not repent. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Now we've moved from John the Baptist preaching on Jesus' behalf to the Lord Jesus himself preaching. Luke 5:31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole or hale or healthy need not a physician or doctor, but they that are sick. Now, you know that already, right? If you're perfectly well, you don't need the doctor. Who is it who needs the doctor? Somebody who's hurt or sick. Now, here is more mercy from the Lord Jesus, because he's not talking literally about people who are sick, but people who are sinful and deserving of punishment. But he graciously is referring to them as people who are sick in need of a doctor. And so then, going on to verse 2, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the Lord Jesus Christ is calling sinners to repentance. And he's indicating that if they will repent at his preaching, they will be like people who are sick, but who went to the doctor and he healed them and now they're well. So this thing about remission of sins or forgiveness is here being cast in the metaphor of people who had a deathly illness, but when they went to the doctor, when they repented, then they were healed of it. Okay, still in Luke chapter 24. Chapter 24. This is when the Lord Jesus has died on the cross, has been buried and has risen again and has appeared to his disciples, and now he's soon to ascend back to heaven. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Luke 24, 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that, what do you suppose? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, what if somebody said a few years after this, there's going to be people sinning the sin of Jezebel in another country, in the city of Thyatira. And Jesus is going to say to them, if you repent, you'll be forgiven. If you repent, the punishment you deserve will not come upon you. Well, that's just what he said it was going to be. Repentance and remission of sins. What about, it says all nations, right? What about in the country of Texas, among Texans? What about that? Is repentance and remission of sins still in play in North Texas, near the river, among people like us, like it was in Thyatira? Yes, the very same. The Lord Jesus Christ preaches repentance and remission of sins all to all nations. So here we are, and if you find that you are sinner and guilty, deserving punishment, if you find that, being generous about it, you're like a person who's deathly ill and has got to go to the doctor, if you find like you're somebody like that, well, what if you repent? What if you seek the Lord Jesus Christ as the great physician? There is spiritual healing. There is remission or forgiveness of sins for you. If you realize, I'm so bad, I'm so wicked, sin and its guilt and the punishment for it are stuck to me like this, there is the sending away of that. And it's through repentance. It's through turning away from your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's preached to you in all nations, including here right now. Okay, Acts chapter 5. Now, I've been taught that Luke wrote Acts also, so that in the two-volume set, Luke and Acts, this is really just a few pages over, continuing the same. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. And here's Peter and the other apostles preaching in Jerusalem. Acts 5, 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, killed, and hanged on a tree, figuratively on a tree, poetically on a tree, literally on a cross, right? Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now there's something, isn't it? Repentance and forgiveness of sins again. But how is Israel going to get the repentance that then brings with it forgiveness of sins? Jesus Christ is going to give it. Now think of those wicked children of Israel who stood there saying, crucify him, crucify him. Who said, let his blood be on us and on our children. You know, who mocked while he was being crucified, as we read in Psalm 22 and as you read in the Gospels. You know, he says that he's from God. If God wants him, let God save him. Ha, 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 ha. But how wicked. And yet, Peter is standing there preaching to those same people. Yes, you did that. But God pronounces now that Jesus Christ will give repentance and forgiveness of sins. You're sure not going to earn it, are you? You threw away all right to it when you sinned in Adam in the first place. You threw away all right to it first time you ever disobeyed your parents or hated your brother or sister. You don't have the right to it, but the Bible says Jesus Christ gives it. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, 28. Now, the last couple of verses we read there in Luke and Acts talked about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and then talked about repentance and remission of sins. Well, let's see that connection stated more explicitly. What is the connection between Jesus Christ dies on the cross and repentance and remission of sins? The Lord Jesus Christ, instituting the Lord's Supper, says, Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus Christ said he is about to shed his blood for many for the remission of sins. Well, how does that work? Okay, so somebody sins, and he then is guilty, deserving of punishment. Matter of fact, death as punishment. Well, God is a just judge. He's not going to just say, "Oh, well, it's okay. You didn't mean it. You know, you did mean it, and it's not okay." With a just judge, punishment has to be carried out. Sin has to be punished. Well, Jesus Christ took the punishment for you. He allowed himself to be punished in your place, in your stead, instead of you, in place of you, for you, on your behalf. What you deserved, he took himself. So then, God allows you to believe in that, to trust in him for that, and then when you trust in him for that, he counts you as in him. Okay? He's already taken the punishment for you. You are now counted as being in him and can be counted as no longer deserving any punishment. So then God can look at you and say, "Here's you, here's your sins, here's the punishment, but Jesus Christ has become sin for you. He's become the curse for you. He's taken the wrath of God for you. And therefore, your sins and their guilt and the punishment you deserve can be sent away from you. Rather than you having to deal with them yourself, Jesus Christ has dealt with it for you. Therefore, there is repentance and remission of sins. If you will turn away from your sins and to Jesus Christ, then your sins will be cast away from you by God, based on his blood shed for you. So the repentance is then a repentance from death unto life. Here the sinner is, having committed the sins of Jezebel, and is deserving of deadly punishment. But the repentance in which you turn from those sins is a turning from the carrying out of the deadly punishment to life away from that deadly punishment. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, this is the controversy over whether the gospel was supposed to be preached to the Gentiles, which of course it was. And Jesus caused Peter to understand that and go preach to the Cornelius and his household. And then he reported this to the Jews who didn't get this. And when they finally got it, they praised God, Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. If sin is unto death, then turning away from sin, turning to Jesus Christ, is repentance unto life." 2 Peter chapter 3, for more of the same in slightly different terms that I think will help you understand and remember it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. That thought could occur to somebody. Jesus said He was coming back, but it's been 2,000 years and He hasn't come back. What's wrong with Him? Is He lazy? Did He forget? You know, that kind of thing. But it's not anything like that. It's that He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See how if they don't come to repentance, what are they going to do? Perish. Suffer the death penalty from God. But if they do come to repentance, what's going to happen? They're going to not perish. If they come to repentance, they will not perish. Now, here we're coming to how repentance is tied to faith. Repentance is linked to faith in a way that can't be separated, because we are more used to hearing the Bible talk about something else, meaning you will not perish, rather than repentance, meaning you will not perish. Remember what it was that Jesus said? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but instead have everlasting life. Right. So right here we get that, you know, it's have everlasting life or perish. And how is it that they will not perish but have everlasting life? By believing in Him. But we just read in 2 Peter, Peter says, how is it they will not perish? Through repentance. Well, which one is it then? Is it that through repentance they will not perish? Or is it that through believing in Jesus they will not perish? It's not one or the other. It's that the two things always come linked. When the Holy Spirit works in the heart of a sinner, doing that wonderful thing that's called regeneration, or granting the new birth, or making somebody a new creature, or giving somebody a living heart instead of a heart of stone. When the Holy Spirit does that work, He works in somebody faith, belief. So the person didn't used to believe in Jesus, and he was going to perish. But now the person believes in Jesus, has faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore he's going to have eternal life instead of perishing. But at the same time that the Holy Spirit is in there working that wonderful work, part of that work of regeneration is the working of faith. Another part is the working of repentance, granting or giving repentance. So that when somebody believes in Jesus Christ to eternal life, and therefore does not perish, he also repents unto forgiveness or remission of sins, and therefore does not perish, but has eternal life. So there were people in that church, there in Thyatira, people in that congregation, there were people in that situation who were in dreadful sin. There was the woman herself or the group of people. There was the woman who was doing the part of Jezebel. But even such a wicked person or group of people, the Lord Jesus still gave time for them to repent, gave opportunity. I'm sure somebody said something about it, and yet they didn't repent. She didn't repent. And so her lot then was to perish, not to have everlasting life. There were others that the Bible says the Lord was going to trouble them with great tribulation, except if they repent. And so there it was for them to repent. And then that goes out to all the churches. Everywhere that there's people sitting around with their Bibles open like we are here, or in whatever way exactly it's manifested in their particular situation, whenever there's people gathered around the name of Jesus Christ and somebody is saying, you know, unless you repent, except you repent, because with repentance comes forgiveness, remission of sin. Well, here I say that then again to you tonight. Repent of the wickedness that you've been doing. You've been doing it, feel bad about it a little bit, but you've continued to make that your way. Turn your mind, turn your heart, turn away from your sin. When you're turning away from your sin, what are you turning to? To God, our Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And so, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from your sins, and what is it you'll find? That awful guilt of sin that has been stuck to you, that horrible dread of punishment when the day comes, it's separated from you. It's sent away from you. It's thrown off from you. You're liberated and set free from it. You'll find remission or forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray to the Lord about that.